They're off. Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott. A life changer.
It's the first time he's finished the MotoGP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And a very good morning, everyone. It is 9:09. Glenn Munty, good morning.
Very good. Thank you, Shawnee. On a ripper day here in Sydney, and as Ray said during our preview there, a little bit strange to go to the races, Sean, and be starting on a good track.
I know. It's been that way of late with the weather. What a bizarre summer it's been around the country. I mean, you look at the rain we've had in Sydney and around surrounding areas and so forth. Then in Melbourne, they had the tennis, and it was mild weather barring the first 2 days. Traditionally, they're on 40-plus degree courts. And it's been so mild there. Just been quite odd.
Yeah, don't start putting the Moz on anything to do with Melbourne, Sean, if you don't mind. I've got to go down there Friday.
All right.
So I'm down at the Mornington Peninsula there Friday, so please don't, you know, because as you know, you could get there, it could be 38 degrees one day and could be 14 the next.
You mean 1 hour and 14 the next. It can change that quickly. But it really has been quite bizarre, but it would be good to start on a good track today because, I mean, every week when you look at the racing, there are some horses who haven't really, and they've been resuming, haven't really handled the wet that much.
No, and it's also frustrating for the trainers to try and get them ready. They don't, you know, especially when they're coming back from a spell, the last thing that the trainers want to be doing is pushing them out, giving them their first run on a rain-affected track that's going to take a little bit more out of them when they've got, you know, a long preparation ahead of them.
Yep. Now, we have got with us this morning Jeremy Lilliger, who normally is with us from the NBL, is away, but I tell you what, coming off the bench is going to do a fantastic job. He's Tommy Greer, the former captain of the Melbourne Tigers, Muns, and also part of the media team with the National Basketball League. He's with us now. Morning, Tommy.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, look, absolute pleasure. Thanks for filling in.
They're very, very big shoes.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to get anything wrong here, would I?
He will get to hear this somehow. You know that, Tommy, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure he's listening from the airport. He's about to take off. He'll be making sure I get it all correct.
There'll be a scorecard held up.
Right, anything above 7 should be okay. Should be my job.
Now, we're getting down to the sharp end of the wedge now, aren't we?
We really are. It's such an exciting finish to this season with, you know, a couple of teams sort of vying for that fourth spot in the finals. You know, we've got Adelaide and New Zealand to come down to this final round, and however they perform this weekend, we'll decide who gets that final spot.
And, we're talking about Adelaide, reading a story in the web this morning. Big news for them. Jerome Randall's going to be available.
Yeah, this is just huge news. For everyone who's been following the league this season, they know how big that is for Adelaide. Jerome Randall came in to replace Keon McNeil about three games into the season, and he's just taken over the league this year. It's that exciting to watch. The 36ers really rely on him on the offensive end, and he's so good at distributing to the rest of the 36ers. So massive news for them to have him back on the floor, and that puts them in good stead to come away with a couple of wins this weekend.
Gee, there's not much between those top five, and you look at them on wins and percentages either, Tommy, is there?
Nah, not at all. And we've got our top two teams locked in Melbourne and Perth, but even that is still not, they're not locked in either of those positions. So Melbourne can still finish first or second, although it is looking likely they'll come away with the top spot. That's sort of the first two tiers. And then, of course, Illawarra locked themselves into that third position. And like I said, Adelaide and New Zealand sort of fighting out for that final spot.
Tommy, Munch, just look at the top two there. When you look at it, Melbourne have won 18, lost 8. Their percentage is about 103.7. Perth have won one game less, but they've got a higher winning percentage. Does that indicate Perth's attack's a little bit better than Melbourne? Does it show anything re their attack or defence or not?
I think it probably indicates that they take care of business when they're playing the lower-ranked teams, I think, and they probably increase their percentage that way by putting some big margins on some teams. Whereas Melbourne this year have really sort of fought it out against those teams and had to eke out victories. So, I mean, in terms of the offensive sort of power, I'd probably give the edge there to Melbourne United. They've been, their weaponry on the offensive end is well, I'd like to say it's unmatched, but Illawarra and Adelaide have got some big guns as well. So, In terms of the offensive power, I'm not so sure, but Perth have definitely been taking care of business against the lower-ranked teams.
Well, speaking of Perth, they're first up in the round this week when they take on Sydney at Sydney Olympic Park, and they'll round out the round when they're back at home on Sunday.
They will. So they've got Sydney first up, and they are not travelling many people. Casey Prather, Damian Martin, Nate Jarwai, and Jermaine Bill are all not going to play in this one. So real window of opportunity there for the Sydney Kings, who are locked into the wooden spoon this year. But it would be nice to see them maybe sneak a win, you know, in the last round of the season.
Yeah, well, that reason not many Perth players travelling, don't think our boys have been out to lunch or something or whatever. You know, the Sydney are going to finish bottom of the table and Perth are going to run second. And Sydney are favourites over Perth for this match tonight at 7:30. 180 Sydney, $2 Perth.
There you go. That's incredible, isn't it? You've got second versus bottom of the ladder, and bottom of the ladder a favourite. Welcome to the NBL this season. That's the quality, you know, one through eight this year.
Right, some of the other matches, of course, tomorrow night, Townsville at home to Cairns, so the old grudge match up there. Townsville 155, Cairns at 245. Well, both sides are already working out what to do Mad Monday.
Yeah, that's right, and they're pretty local as well, so maybe they're teaming up. You know, the two North Queensland teams in the Reptile Rumble. And like you said, you know, there's not any finals implications to this one. So, you know, I guess the boys will be out there playing for a bit of pride. And, of course, coaches and opposing coaches are all looking to fill their rosters next year. So everyone will be trying to put their best foot forward.
Yeah, another interesting match regarding the top four comes Friday night. The Breakers at home against Melbourne. Now, Melbourne, they're top of the ladder. The Breakers need to win to, you know, give themselves a chance of being in top four. Now, this is the first of a double header for these two sides because they'll meet again on Sunday afternoon back in Melbourne. But in New Zealand, the Breakers 165, Melbourne 225 on Friday night.
Yeah, this is just a really interesting one. We know that Melbourne are locked in the top two and probably for that top spot. So New Zealand have a lot more to play for. The season series is split 1-1 between Melbourne, and they've played them extremely tough all season. The only game they lost was that one at Hisense, and that was the questionable decision at the end of the game, and they ended up losing that one by a really narrow margin. So they've played them tough all year. They've got a lot to play for. They're at home. I think New Zealand would be the favourites in this one.
It's interesting because they're back at Hisense a couple of days later.
That's right. It's sort of like an NBA finals series, isn't it? You know, where you have to play the, you know, the same team back-to-back over that seven-game series. So interesting to see any sort of adjustments or coaches changing things up for that second game here at Hisense.
Well, look at the second game. Melbourne's $1.55 in the second game on Sunday, and the Breakers are $2.45 away from home. And, well, they still may not even know their fate at this stage, New Zealand, come Sunday, with Adelaide still a game to play.
Yeah, that's right. So they have to win an extra game. So it is, like you said, another interesting one. And I think that the bookies give the edge to Melbourne because of the home game dominance throughout the NBL this year. You know, the home teams have really sort of put the hurt on opposing teams this year, and Melbourne have performed so well at Hisense all season. So they'd be the favourite in that one.
Tommy, if New Zealand happened to give Melbourne a hiding in their home game, going to the opposite 2 days later when they're playing away, does it give them much confidence, or would Melbourne still think, no, we're on top?
Look, I think it would give them some confidence. If they lose that first one, they're really fighting an uphill. They'll begin to fight that uphill battle to make their way into the postseason. So that definitely that first one over in New Zealand is a huge one. So if they can come away with that and a convincing win, that'll have them feeling pretty good, especially when you factor in that, you know, they really struggled. New Zealand really struggled for about 5 weeks there before last weekend seemingly getting it together with Cedric Jackson and Corey Webster really stepping up for them. So if they can continue on that momentum, I think that would really help.
Now, when you look at the sides that are trying, you know, New Zealand with one game at home of their two games they've got to play, albeit they're playing Melbourne both times, they just seem to have it that little bit easier than Adelaide, who's sitting there the same position that the Breakers are. But Adelaide have got to travel to Illawarra, and then they've got to travel to Perth.
Yeah, that's right. So, and that's right, you're playing two of the top three teams at away venues, so really tough for Adelaide, and that's why it's so important that they've got Jerome Randall back on the floor. Hopefully he's at least, you know, travelling at 90% and he can help them, you know, carry them to a win or even a couple of wins and sneak their way into the playoff.
Well, looking at the markets for the first of the Adelaide games, which is against Illawarra on Friday night, they're $4.50 outsiders. Illawarra's $1.20 in that one.
Well, I mean, I wonder if the bookies are across the Jerome Randall announcement this morning. But because I think he really, I mean, obviously he really helps them on the offensive end of the floor. So I'd give him more of a shot than that against Illawarra. It's two really high-octane teams. They love to throw a lot of points up. So, and, of course, Adelaide with a whole lot more to play for than Illawarra at the moment, who are cemented themselves in the postseason.
All right, three matches remaining in the round. Saturday night, the Kings are at it again. They travel to Townsville, so they can't just start celebrating the end of the season quite yet, Townsville, after they take on Cairns on Thursday night. They're $1.30 against the Kings on Saturday night. That will be curtains for both.
Yeah, it will. Like you said, neither of these teams are playing any sort of factor in the postseason, so this will be it for them. Last game of the season, Townsville versus Sydney. I'm really looking for Townsville just to finish off what's been, you know, even though they're going to finish second bottom of the ladder, what's been a pretty impressive year for them. They weren't extremely stacked with talent this season, even coming into the year, but some of the performances they've put up has been really impressive. So I'll be looking for Townsville to come away with that one.
Right, we've spoken about the return match, Melbourne and New Zealand, and then the season will conclude. Well, we may know the situation. What's going to happen here, because this Perth and Adelaide match is, we will know, I should say, because the Perth and Adelaide match is 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Savings Time, and the Melbourne and New Zealand match would already be over by that stage.
That's right. So we should know the situation by this point. Another ripper game between Perth and Adelaide. Two teams have been really entertaining to watch all year, and I'm sure the jungle will be rocking for this one.
Right, well, let's have a look at the overall NBL winner market, which has Perth as the $2.80 favourites over Illawarra at $3.25. Melbourne's at $4. Now, this goes to show you with New Zealand just having that one match of their two at home. They're $6 chances, and Adelaide, who are on the road twice, are $21 chances to take the title this year.
Yeah, really interesting to see Melbourne so low in the standings. Just goes to show that, you know, how much benefit teams have having played numerous final series. You know, like Perth have been there a number of times, and even New Zealand, that's probably something that gives them an edge over Adelaide. They know how to make a finals run and a finals push because they've been there so often over the past, you know, number of years. You know, it's well spoken about Perth making 30 postseasons in a row, so I'm not surprised that they're sitting on top of that table.
Yeah, and Melbourne, of course, well, they started the season on fire. I think they won, did they win 9 of their first 10 or...
They've before falling to Cairns, yeah.
And then went into a little bit of a slump and they've returned back to the top of the table in the last few weeks.
Yeah, like you said, really impressive effort by them. After they had a real rough patch in the middle of the season, and Dean Demopoulos has done a great job with that pretty much new roster. I mean, they've got 7 new players, 2 new coaches, so to be able to gel a team and find some chemistry so quickly has been really impressive.
Now, Tommy, we often ask Jeremy for a good thing that we can invest on, of course, over the weekend. And there's absolutely no pressure on you whatsoever, Tommy.
Okay. Oh, goodness. A good thing. All right. I've got to try and find some value, don't I?
Oh, no. 10-1 will do.
10-1. All right. How about this? How about Perth to beat Sydney, even without their players?
Righto. Cool. Well, every home side favourite at the moment, and this one, as you said, if you look at straight, you say the second team on the table is playing the team that's going to run last in the competition, and yet the team that's going to run second is the $2 outsider. That match tonight at Sydney Olympic Park, tip-off at 7:30, you'll see it live on Fox Sports. Sydney's $1.80, Perth at $2.
Yeah, let's not forget they're resting a whole lot of players as well, so I'm going to keep that one in my pocket in case it goes bad.
All right. Good on you, Tommy, mate. Good to catch up. Tell Jeremy he's got the flick you're on for good now, all right?
Good on you, boys. Thanks.
Good on you, Tommy. Thanks a lot for filling in there. Tommy Greer, former captain of the Melbourne Tigers, helping us out. Did a great job too for us, mate.
Yeah, and he'll be now sweating on every game that he tries to tip us a few winners.
All right, now we've got a race of Manawatu about 90 seconds away, but Ron Quinton joining us now, Glenn. He's got a couple of nice runners in today too. Morning, Ron. How are you?
Yeah, very good, Sean. Thank you.
That's good. You've got a happy partner going around in the second today. Out to 2,400, it's won over 2,000, but has it raced at the mile and a half before, Ron?
No. This is his first attempt. He ran out his 2,000s strong both times when he ran at that distance. Look, he's a very fit horse, whether he runs it or not, well, remains to be seen, but if we just ride him nice and patient and quiet, he has got a bit of acceleration, so if he's ridden nice and patient and get him to switch off and relax, well, he could well run the trip.
He does tend to get back in these races.
Well, yes. He likes to be ridden a bit soft. Thomas Huey sort of got the key to him there early on when he was sort of racing really well. I think he's last runs have been very good. You know, he hasn't had much luck. He's drawn the outside gate there at Canterbury a couple of times. Hasn't had the best of runs. Andrew had to make a long run on him at his last time there and was left feeling it a bit right in the end. But I think ridden patiently and careful, he could run well.
Now, Ron, Glenn Munsey, how are you?
Very good, Glenn. Yourself?
All right. Now, your runner in race six, Dixie Blossoms. Now, a bit of a test for her today, a three-year-old filly taking on a couple of three-year-old fillies, but the majority of them are the older mares. Now, is this ideal to be throwing her in to a race like this, or you just didn't have another race for her?
Well, there's no other options, Glenn. Once you win a couple, you're forced into either the light fingers on Saturday or something like this. So, you know, I'm not particularly worried about her taking on the older mares. I think the favourite's a three-year-old.
Yeah, Painted Firetail.
John O'Shea's filly. So, we've got to go that way. And if she can happen to come through today with good colours, well, then she can take on the better three-year-old fillies. But we just thought we'd go this option first and then and go from there. But
Ron, with Dixie Blossoms, the first time when she won, she drew wide and went back and was actually well back at the 800 and the 400 and got home. The other day at Warwick Farm, she drew eight and was up handy.
Yeah, the other day, those 1,400 metre races at Warwick Farm, sometimes they just jump out and go slow and bunch up. They're buggers at races, really, but same again today, and she's drawn a touch awkward. I do think she would be better horse ridden a tad quieter because she has got good acceleration. But, how it pans out today from that barrier, that Sam's got the job. So he'll have to work that one out. But, they're not, it's not ideal. But anyway, the only good part about that 1,400 at Warwick Farm is you've only got one turn. Outside that, they can be sort of messy run races.
Now, Ronnie, just looking forward to Saturday, trying about working horses out. Magical Stance, he just doesn't seem to be able to work out a path that's going to give him every chance in a race.
Yeah, well, he's paid for his consistency big time, running, being so consistent, and the handicappers haven't missed him each time. He's been, been put up in the ratings each time. And then what I couldn't quite understand was that when I did drop him back from an 85 to a 78 and he still got beat, he still went up a couple of points, which I thought was tad unfair. And what it's telling you is the horse is can't win, really. So, it's made his job very hard. He could go this preparation without winning a race, by simply because he's got to carry these weights all the time.
Yeah, well, he's now a benchmark. If we have a look at his ratings, he ran seventh at Rose Hill. He was a 77. Then ran second at Randwick. He went from 77 to 79. Ran second at Rose Hill, went from 79 to 80. And then ran second again and went 80 to 82. So, yeah, as you said, he's just getting bumped up every time without actually winning. any of his races.
No, that's exactly right. He's paid for his consistency, and you know, we're giving him a little try at the 2400 on Saturday, and you know, whether he runs it or not, well, we don't quite know. But he's a lovely horse. He's a big, strong fella. But you know, we'll know more Saturday.
One of the stars comes back Saturday in the shape of Peeping.
Yeah, Peeping's in good order. She's come back. She probably even spelled a little bit better than she normally does, and she's come back and she's eating probably a bit better than she ever has too. She's not a big, robust mare, but by the same token, she's done very, very well. She's got to contend with the 59 kilos. She's probably earned every bit of it, and she's got 11 alley, but I don't think the alley will be too much of a worry to her, but she's in good order, so, you know, whether she can give that weight away to the others remains to be seen.
You talk about trying to find the right race for a horse, Boss Lane. It's more to do with the right place for him to run, isn't it? He just loves going to Randwick.
He loves Randwick. He's had 7 metropolitan wins and 5 of them have been at Randwick. So, no, Bossy's been in great form, you know, in the last couple of times in. He's been in super form and, yeah, he seems to like, enjoys Randwick, that's for sure. And now he's in good order. He'll run another big race on Saturday.
Now, Ron, how's the stable going? Because you told me on Monday that one of the old favourites has been retired in Monton.
Yeah, Monton. He's now been retired. He had 3 runs back this preparation. His first 2 runs were excellent, and then his last start he was just a little bit flat and. I wasn't sort of quite happy with the way he pulled up, and we had a discussion with the connections, and we decided that the best thing to do would be to give him a good home and go from there.
I think it'll be a decent fight amongst the owners to whose home it goes to. I think there's a few people clearing the lounge for him. He's that good a horse.
Exactly right. You know, he's such a popular old horse, and look, he was so good to our stable. And not only to his owners, but also to my apprentices, who most of them went on.
He'd be living in someone's backyard, Ron, mate.
Yeah, he'd take up a bit of space, he's a big old bugger.
Well, Ron, good luck today with your runners today, and you've a lot to look forward to, I reckon, with Dixie Blossom. I think you're going to have a bit of fun there.
Yeah, you know, well, not many do what she's done already, win their first 2 in town, so she's done a good job, and let's hope it can continue.
Terrific. Ron, great to catch up and good luck today.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Ron. Ron Quinton there. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll start previewing Warwick Farm today. And we'll have a look at Sandown as well. 28 to 11, Sky Sports Radio.